We're going to do it a little bit differently today. We're going to talk a bit about something that I believe, and I know that you, as we as a church, believe. We're going to talk about worship this morning, and we're going to do it in a little different style. I'm going to have Jonathan come. Jonathan is the worship pastor of the church, along with Julie, and then, of course, the team's all included with that, to take what we believe that the Bible talks about as being maybe one of the most important topics in the Scriptures. After you become born again, receive Christ and eternal life, after you become water baptized by immersion, which cuts off that old person, after you receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to walk out in the grace of God, I believe the Scripture is so clear about this topic of worship that I want to challenge us, because sometimes we can just kind of, you know, hear a topic and, oh, that's what it is, and kind of just turn it off. But I'm going to ask you to open up the eyes of your spiritual understanding this morning, because the more revelation that we can get about worship, the more understanding that we can get about worship, I'm telling you, the roof will go off the house. The roof will go off of your life. And as I was preparing for this, you didn't want a coffee? Oh, thanks. As we go through this morning, I want to we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to do it more of a conversational style. I believe that probably with all of us that we would say that we want to see more signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. And I get a pretty hearty amen to that. That's like, wow, that's right. We want to see that. We spend a lot of time praying. We spend a lot of time fasting. We spend a lot of time seeking the Lord to do what? To release His presence, because He's the healer. He's given us the authority. He's given us the authority to release that power. Right? Come on, the power of God is within you. He's filled you up with this thing. And he may be waiting on us more than we're waiting on Him. And yet sometimes we can miss it if we don't capture how do we hear His real heart. And I think and I believe the Scripture bears through that if we can learn how to worship, we can get back to the days that it was when the church started, where there were signs, wonders, miracles. How many would really, and I say it this way intentionally, but how many would enjoy somebody being healed by your shadow? I mean, that's a success to me. That'd be awesome. You know, you're just walking by and boom, it hits it, you know, and they rise up and walk and they're healed. You know, you go into a hospital, you grab their hand, you pull them up, boom, they're healed. We believe that can happen, right? I mean, we may be frustrated a little bit. We may be wore out a little bit by learning to be persistent, but we believe that can happen. I want to just read a couple of scriptures as we get started, but I do want you to be stirred up about the fact that the church should be growing in glory, not diminishing. And somehow we have to be honest, you know, the elephant is in the room here. The church overall has diminished, but I believe that we can be a part of turning that around. Not only here in Hope Alive, but then in the community, and then hopefully affect maybe around the world. How many think that's an awesome thing? You see, if we allow God to be involved, it does. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 says this here, because it kind of communicates the beginning of the church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And what did it do? It filled the house where they were sitting. Now, I was thinking about that this morning as we were worshiping. I just think God wants to do that again. Yeah. I think He'd like to fill this house so heavy with His glory, with His presence, that if we're not sitting, we will be. Come on. Yeah. And maybe even a few, you know, prostrate down on the ground, and the glory of God being so heavy that it's just penetrating us, and that we're that people that are in this room are being healed just by the very presence of God. Because that's what heals them anyway. It's not us. We just have the authority to release it. And I believe a powerful way for that to happen is through worship. Now listen to this verse. I'm sure you know you may be familiar with it, but I'd like for you to see it afresh this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 7. And then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place. So they were getting ready to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which was a box made up, which represented the presence and the glory and the weight of God himself in this box. There was a season God so wanted to dwell with men, he arranged this place for him to be. And this is what it says, and they brought it into the inner sanctuary of the temple to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. In verse 11, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping their divisions, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, these were all worship leaders. They were part of the worship team, kind of like what we had up here this morning, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen. How many know you are clothed in white linen if you're born again? Come on. You are the white linen of Jesus Christ. He's your righteousness. And that's what white linen always stands for in the scriptures. And they stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Wow, can you imagine standing in the middle of that? Would that not be awesome? I mean, just like, wow. With trumpets, indeed it came to pass, and when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments and the music and the and they began to praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. They were singing it out. I'm just telling you right now, they were after this thing. That the house of the Lord was what? It was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. Why? For the glory of the Lord filled the house. What happened in Acts? The glory of the Lord again filled the house. They made themselves ready. I want you to note, it doesn't just say the instruments did it. It doesn't just say the worship team did it. It said they all began to sing. The instruments were playing and the people were singing. Amen. So 1 Peter 2:9, quickly, just as a foundation here of what we're going to talk about. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's who you are. We sang about that this morning, is how great he is and how he's made us a special people. And what are we to do? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Wow. You're a priest. We just heard how the priest came together, brought the ark in, put it in the house, began to sing and praise. The glory fell. And this is exactly what he's saying. He wants us to get this picture. After we read that story, all those things were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the earth have come, so that we could learn. And now, you're a king and you're a priest. Would you tell the person next to you that they're a priest of God? And so this verse applies to you. When you read it, it applies to you. And that you may proclaim these praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. One last verse here, and then we're going to move on. John chapter 14, verses 19 through 24. I hadn't seen this before, but I think we'd all be familiar with the story. A broken woman whose life has been destroyed, been married several times and not married now again. She's going to the well. It's in the evening time, which means that's not generally when they went, so she was probably not accepted in her city because of probably the condition of person she was. She comes to the well, and she starts with this conversation with Jesus. Remember, he says, I'm going to give you water that you'll never have. And so they're having this conversation, and it picks up here. Then the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but why did she bring that up? I just have never seen that before. And I thought, wow, worship was even an issue back then. Where are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? I mean, because there's just really no reason for this woman who is a mess to bring that up, in my understanding. But I think God's trying to point something out to us. And Jesus said this to her. He says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. We know what we worship." They were after God himself. We know what we worship. This is exciting. It gets better. "For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and actually it's now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father," what? "In spirit and in truth." Why? "Because the Father is actually seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and if we worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen to this. God is looking for those that are worshiping him. Come on, this is important. I mean, there's a whole topic here. You could talk about anything else. You know, this is it. And so as we get into this topic, I just want to encourage us to really say, "God, give me fresh ears with this." You know, even as I've been studying through this, I've just been getting rejuvenated on how important it is for me to spend more time worshiping him than complaining or doing a lot of other things that I could be thinking about. Amen? Come on, you angels. Come on, amen? Amen. You know, if we just begin to worship God all the time, things will be different. So anyway, so I want to ask Jonathan to this morning to, in his own words, just define worship to me.
Well, first off, I would like to say that, excuse me. First off, I would like to say that over this past week, I have been being attacked like crazy, and so I've actually been struggling with anxiety, which is kind of hard to believe, but yeah, me, worship pastor, struggling with anxiety and actually having panic attacks and breathing hard and heavy, and so it's been kind of an off-and-on thing, and it's something that I'm walking with the Lord through, but even this past week, it's just been horrible. And so that just tells me that the devil really doesn't want me to preach this or get this message out. And he doesn't want us to talk about worship. And that's one of the first things is, like, worship is so important. And it's so important that the devil knows. He used to be the worship pastor, so he knew. He knows the power of it. And so he's going to do whatever he can to stop it. But we're not going to let him. So. Defining worship. I would say the first way, before we can really define worship, we need to look at what the beginning of mankind was. Why did God create us? And you just go back into the garden, and what was it? Well, God just created man and woman and walked with them. He talked with them and enjoyed life together. They worked together. And so that tells us that we were created for a response to what worship is. And I think worship is a natural response to what God has done in our lives, for what God has given us. It's giving back to him what he first gave us. So that's more than just songs. That's our life. That's every area of our life, whether it be working at a bank or working at a hospital or working as a lawyer or anything, a teacher. All those, we can be worship because it's gifts that God's given us and the ability that he's given us. And so our gift back is doing the best that we can with what God's given us. And we're actually his creation. And if you think about it, creators want their creation to show how good they are. So nobody ever says, "Oh yeah, Leonardo da Vinci was an awesome man." No, they say his paintings were amazing, and that spoke to who Leonardo da Vinci was. In the same way, it says we are his workmanship. When we do the best that we can with what we have and what he first gave us, that speaks and glorifies the Lord in a way that only we can. Only you can. He's given you only specific gifts, gifts that I don't have. I may be able to sing and play, but I math is one of my weakest links. But so my glorification of God in math is that I depend 100% on him to give me the answer versus you. Some of you guys are a lot smarter and can do that. And it just speaks to, I know that my brother is really good at math. And it's just like, wow, God literally blessed you with the ability to take that. And now he works for an engineer to create safety mechanisms. And that would save people's lives. And that's a way that he can worship by putting his whole heart into what he's doing.
That's excellent.
So I would say worship isn't singing alone. It's a lifestyle, and I think it's a posture of the heart of just giving back to God what he gave us.
Yeah, and that's sometimes we can kind of get confused and think that worship might be this, or it's just being a good person, or it's just doing a good deed, or it's just living a godly life, or something. You know, it's all of that, isn't it? It's all of that. But what we want to focus on this morning is the element of the singing and the actual worship part of our life that the scripture is so filled with. I mean, you can't hardly get into the scriptures and not realize that God really likes people to learn how to worship. So in light of that, Jonathan, why do we take so much time to sing in our services?
Well, first off, I would think the most important reason is that he's God and he deserves our praise. And so I think above anything else is just knowing, man, God of all the universe created you. Why wouldn't we give him praise? Why wouldn't we worship him? It says in the end that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether you want to or not, you're going to. And so why not choose to do it now and give him that gift? So I would say all throughout the Bible, we're really encouraged to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. In Hebrews, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips and thanks to his name. And I think that is a response that we can have to what God has spoken in our hearts and spoken to you as a way, hey, we are singing a song of thanksgiving. We're singing a song of praise all throughout the Psalms. Even that's the largest book in the Bible, all talks about songs, and it's about singing songs. And all of them, they all have to do with God's goodness, God's character, and they all go back to, regardless of how dark David gets in his words, which they can get pretty dark, he always brings it back to, but my soul's going to magnify the Lord, but God is good, and God's going to pull me through. And I think that's why we sing songs, even songs like that we were singing about, like, he making us brave, that we're not a victim. Those are things that lies that we could believe, but then we're singing them back to God and being like, and he's just, we're saying, I'm not a victim. I'm not a poor man. And he's like, yes, yes, you're not a victim. You're not a poor man. You are my workmanship. You are my kid.
That's good.
You're finally getting it, is kind of what I just kind of picture. It's like the give and take is God gave us that song to begin with. We sing it back to him, and then he just projects that back onto us. And so it's an awesome thing of seeing how God interacts with us during the times where we sing.
And as we talked about it through the week, one of the scriptures that came to mind was Isaiah 54, where it says, and we would be familiar with that, sing, O barren one. Sing, O barren one. Barrenness back in that day was very much looked on as a curse in itself, as well as probably just a painful frustration for a woman. And so what does he step up to do? Oh, it's going to be okay, and someday, and don't, you know. No, he says, I need you to sing, sing, sing. And I don't know if Jonah sang, but we know that he did pray, and I bet you Jonah was singing, too, inside of the belly of that whale. And he got out of that situation through prayer, and we connect prayer and worship together all the time here because they are interlocking. But that challenge is sing, O barren one. And maybe you're facing something today that you're not overcoming. Yeah. Can I just encourage? Let's begin to sing to it.
Yeah, and going off of that, for just to clarify, Jonah does sing in the belly of the whale. That is biblical. Just letting you know. he prays and sings.
Buy him books, send him to school.
Interesting to note, though, it wasn't until Jonah sang that he was shot out of the whale or thrown up, however, I don't know. I'm thinking finding Nemo where they get shot out of the water spout. That probably didn't happen. But I think that's a good thing, good way to look at what worship is, and another way that worship is an impact to us is that when we sing those songs of thanksgiving, when we sing those songs of praise, it brings God's presence in a way that brings breakthrough.
Wow, that's good.
God inhabits the praises of his people. When God walks into the room, things have to change immediately. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if you're struggling with something, then sing a song of praise. That brings God's presence. He inhabits it. And if you're inhabiting it, like what would it look like if we constantly had a song of praise on our lips that God was inhabiting everywhere that we walked, you know? Third point. Here we go. I say the third thing that for me has really been big, especially with my battle, has been keeping my focus. It keeps your heart and your focus in the right place. So many times when we get in the midst of a circumstance, we start to focus on the circumstance, focusing on the storm. And that really doesn't do any good. That causes you to sink, as Peter found out when he walked out on the water. Jesus was telling him to come, and the moment that he looked off, took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink as he was walking on water. And that's just a perfect example for us is, hey, when we're going through that struggle, is we need to keep our eyes and our focus on the right place.
That's good.
Because he's cheering us on, and if God's cheering you on, you can't really fail. You just know, hey, I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. And then you look down, and you're like, no, no, no. And he's like, yes, I've got this. I've got this. Don't you worry. And where was I? I lost it. Oh, yeah. It, when we sing those songs about God's character, about God's goodness, singing songs that he sings over us about our character and our goodness, it really helps us to see past our circumstance and see into what God is doing, because we believe that God is good all the time, which means he's trying all the time through every situation to bring his goodness into your life. And so when we face a struggle, that's just an area that God wants to pour more of his character, more of his goodness into. But sometimes we can miss that just because we're so focused on what's in front of me. Oh no, well I'm sick. Oh no, I have a disease. Oh no, I don't have a job. Oh no, like this relationship is falling apart. But then God's like, no, no, stop. You gotta stop. You have to cut the lies out and focus on the truth. Kind of like Pastor Bruce Edwards was talking about, was you can't stay encouraged while staring at the storm. I thought that was like, wow. Well, that's the most profound thing I've ever heard. But so many times we do that. We spend so much time focusing on our problem when we can focus on the answer, who is Jesus. And when we focus on him, he's our king. He's our truth. He's our life. He's our healing. He's our peace. All this stuff. He's our wholeness. His truth drowns out those lies because we're focusing on it. And whatever we focus on, like a magnifying glass, becomes bigger. And so we can get the wrong perception of the storm being bigger than Jesus if we just look down. But really, he's bigger than it all, and he's conquered it all. And so let's focus on that. And so when we sing songs of worship, we're able to look at it, and we're like, all right, God, this is what's happening in front of me, but I'm going to choose to sing your promise, sing your truth over my situation, and I'm going to sing it till I believe it. Maybe I don't even believe it, but I'm going to sing it till I believe it, because I know his truth is greater than the facts of my life. And so I think it's so important that we do. We put it in front of us, and taking time together to just, we all have our problems. We all have our issues. We all got struggles. But it's a time that we can set those struggles in front of our faces and then still stare, look into the eyes of Jesus, who's saying, you're victorious over what you're holding right now. It's not an ignorance thing. We're not ignoring the fact we have a problem. We're just looking higher. We're looking at a higher level, and worshiping and singing songs really take our eyes up to the next level.
So the 3 points that he just mentioned that I thought were excellent were, number one, it's just because God is worthy. Why do I sing to him? Why do we take time? God is just worthy. It's just who he is. He's all worth it. The second thing is that it does cultivate an atmosphere of breakthrough because he inhabits the praises of his people. And where the presence of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. Freedom. Freedom of all sorts. Freedom from sickness, death, and all of that. And then the third thing that he brought up was that it helps us to keep our focus and our worship in the right direction. I mean, we're all spiritual, I think. I mean, I would call all of you guys spiritual, okay? But honestly, you get back out into the workplace, it's a little bit challenging to keep that spiritual focus sometimes. And so when we come back here, and that's probably why he pulled us together every week and said, hey, I don't want you to miss that gathering. And when you get there, you're going to sing and praise and you're going to worship him. And I so appreciate Jonathan and Julie as they lead worship in this house because their heart is just, how can we all reach the very throne room of God? How can we open the door, open wide the gates so that the King of Glory can come in? And I know sometimes it can be just a little bit, you know, awkward when we're going through maybe in between songs where you're just to sing yourself to the Lord, and some people just struggle with that. But I tell you, it's letting you get involved in this because it isn't going to really be worship unless we all do it. Because God's looking for our unity. That's where he said, and this is exciting, in music we can do it. He'll command his blessing where we will unify ourselves. And I think, you know, we may all sound a little different. You would not want me up here singing a special, okay? I'm just telling you, okay? but I can worship God. And God has this unique filter.
Yeah, when you think about it, little kids, when they sing a song, the more out of tune they are, the cuter it is and the more valuable it is because you just know that they don't care. They just have this idea that I don't really care what I sound like because the fact that I'm singing is beautiful more than the notes that I'm singing. And it says we're supposed to be childlike. There's a thought.
All right, so Jonathan, what has worship meant to you personally, bringing it to that personal level? What does it mean to you personally?
That's a good question. I'd say that for me, that starting out with worship is it, when it became from a song that we were singing on a Sunday to actual encounter with Jesus and an encounter with his presence, because a great idea can only motivate you for a little while, but an encounter can change your life forever.
Wow. That's
what we're
repeating.
After. We're after an encounter. We're not here to sing songs just because we're singing songs. We're singing songs because we know God inhabits the praises. And he wants to encounter us. And so that is what drew me into it. And just even songs, just looking at the Psalms and the songs that David sang that would just bring his soul up and encourage him. I'd say for me, specifically with my area of anxiety, is this has been huge of just singing songs that I have no fear, singing songs that you make me brave. Like, I'm not able to just sing that song because, oh yeah, he makes me brave. Like, no, I've had nights where I've just struggled to even breathe, which is the most most basic of all functions of human, and yet there's nights where I'm attacked in that area, and yet songs can come to my head and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to let this hold me down, because fear is just a way of crippling you. And I'm not going to give in no matter how hard I have to huff and puff. I'm not going to give in to what the devil is saying. The lies, oh, you're going to die. Oh, you're going to have a heart attack. Oh, you're going to go to the hospital. Oh, this. No, no. And the other night when it happened, there was a song that the very first word of the song was peace. Give me a word of peace. The fear surrounding me has to bow. And it says, the darkness trembles at his name. And that song really carried me through. And just the power of those songs and the songs we sing on Sunday, I think worship is best when we actually apply it to our lives. Not when we just sing it on a Sunday. But Sunday is where you learn the song. The rest of the week is where you apply it. I'm no victim. That is an amazing song. Even thinking of the lyrics of that verse where it says, he provides enough provision for my brightest day. Like, I was just shocked at that. I was like, hold up. What? He provides the wisdom. He provides the provision to see my brightest day. Are you in your brightest day yet? Nope, I'm not there yet. But I want it, and I know that God has that. So I'm going to continue to sing that song until I see the provision, just like the barren woman was singing. She was told to sing because her kids were going to be more than the kids, than the mother that had kids. The barren woman is a representation of the church that God speaks to the people that don't have your promise. This is the position that we need to take of, nope, I'm going to see my brightest day. I'm not a victim. I'm not a poor man. And I'm not going to let any lie or fact of life bring me down.
Amen.
And I think that's really a formula that God brings. When you look at the Psalms, David said, you are my hiding place. Psalms 32, for those of you. Psalms 32, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance.
When we, again, were talking through this and I saw that song, it just kind of jumped out at me, you know, that songs of deliverance part. That's a complete freedom. It's a cutting off of the path. It's a giving you a complete deliverance in whatever the circumstance it is. And I think we can safely apply that to body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Is my body having a problem? Is my emotions having a problem? Is my mind having a problem? Is my spiritual part of my being having a problem? Well, God wants to intervene. He wants to protect you. He wants to surround you, but he doesn't want to stop there. And I think sometimes we stop there. God, you protected me. Oh, thank God. But can I just maybe take this verse and throw it out at you? Psalms 32:7. He wants to also take it further and give you a complete song of complete deliverance. Come on, say amen to that. I mean, that's what I want to see happen more and more and more. Not just a temporary thing or a short-term thing, but man, let's go for the gold. Let's go for the glory, amen?
And it's interesting to see that whenever there was times of trouble, and even in life, songs seem to spring out of those. When you think of "It Is Well," what's the story behind that? Well, let me enlighten you. This story is about a guy who had five kids, four daughters. One of his kids died from pneumonia. Then the other four daughters, 2 years later, died in a shipwreck. And as he was on the boat on the way to the shipwreck area, he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." And that's just the power of singing a song that comes out of those moments of just your deepest, darkest need is there's a song. There's another song called "How He Loves," where it's like, "He loves us, so how he loves us." That was written by a guy whose best friend just died. And like that song came out of it. That's the most illogical thing to do after someone dies is to sing about how good God is and how much he loves us and how much he pours his love on us. But yet those are the songs that really change the world. That song, both of those songs have hit almost every church that you can think of. It was everywhere. Like those are powerful songs bringing ideas about God that you may not have seen or experienced until you hit a hard point.
But somehow that when we sing that song, because it was birthed out of the Holy Spirit to bring comfort to him and different ones, how many know that really begins to minister to you too? I mean, you just sing it and all of a sudden, boom, amazing grace, man. Every time I sing that song so ministers to me. It's just like, it's like I want to stop everything else and take a moment and remember the day of his amazing grace coming after me and not stopping and saving me. I mean, it's just like, wow. So those are breathed of the Holy Spirit and they bring life today as you and I sing them. And it's an awesome thing. Let's maybe wrap it up a little bit, just talking a little bit about the importance of singing and music in the church.
I think music has a very profound way of affecting us emotionally and spiritually. And it has this way to bypass our minds and get straight to the heart, get straight into the spirit, which is why it's good to sing songs that we may not fully agree with our mind, but are lining up with Scripture, because his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher. And so it takes a while for our thoughts to catch up with him up there. Humans, we have a knee-jerk reaction to every time we hear someone say something, it becomes an area of, you got to compare it to, what are my experiences? What is my knowledge? What is my background? And then I see, all right, is that true or is it not true? We're very critical beings. But when I sing a song, all that just goes to the wind somehow. Somehow you can sing a song without even really believing it. And I think a good example of that is a very popular song called Imagine by the Beatles, where we've all heard that and we've probably all sang it.
How many know that song? How many know that song? Raise your hand.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
How many like that song?
No.
Come on, you chickens. Come on, tell the truth. It's
above
it's a great
us only
song.
Sky.
Now read the words.
But that song, very popular song. Everybody knows it, right? There's a lot of us that have probably sung along. I've sung along with it. And then I thought, I was like, wait a second. Imagine no heaven. What am I here for? That's a foundational thing in my life. And yet I was singing it without even thinking. And then I thought, and I was like, oh, shoot. I need to not sing that because I really don't believe it. So music has a way of bypassing the mind and getting straight to the heart, getting straight into your spirit. And God uses that as a way to carry his presence straight to your spirit, straight to your heart. That's good.
Sorry to mess up your song list.
If you guys listen to the Beatles, it's okay. You're not going to hell. Right away. But if you listen to it consistently, then you might find yourself there.
We saved that to the end.
I'm
we
just
knew
kidding.
It would lose a lot of you.
We did.
But read the rest of the words on that song. Read a few more of those lines.
I don't know the rest of the lines. I don't know this one.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
I've heard you sing it.
Oh, snap. I don't know. I honestly can't think of the words. It's okay. It's not important.
It's probably a good thing we're in the house of God. We can sing songs
that before we believe them. So why not let's sing songs of truth? Why not sing songs of God's character that we don't believe and ideas and revelation from his word that we haven't quite fully grasped, but that we can sing over our lives? What we speak and what we say over ourselves makes a huge difference. So what are you singing over yourself? I think sound also has an impact on three spheres that I've seen. It has the impact on the heavens, has an impact here on earth, and an impact on people. There is a story about these farmers that had these crops, and they gave a test to see if worshiping and praising Jesus was as good as fertilizing. So one crop, they fertilized. And the other crop, true story, they sang praises. They did the typical things that you need to do. Like they had to plant the seed. They had to water it. But instead of all the extras, they just sang. They sang praises. And at the end of the season, they harvested four times as much as the one that was done well. They harvested a lot, but not as much as singing praise. And that just speaks to the power of words. And that's actually in the Bible. Yeah. Psalm 67, let the people praise you and the land will yield its harvest. Wow. Who knew that was biblical? I did not. But that just goes back is, what promises do you have that you don't see yet? Sing those praises and the land will yield its harvest. Where do you want to end up? Find the promises that you don't have and sing like that barren woman did. Until you see the promise. That's what births the promise. And so that's why it's so important for us to sing songs. Is one, to teach you the songs. And two, to sing them together as a church that, hey, we're not there yet, but we sing ourselves into that. And that's a totally biblical thing. That's what God told the barren woman. Sing because you know that the promise is coming, because you know the promise is going to be more than if you tried to do it on yourself. And so sing, the walls will fall down. Sing, the chains will break. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, it says they sang hymns and praised God. And the prisoners actually heard them. And then the chains fell off. There was an earthquake and the chains fell off. It's because they were singing. Now, the interesting thing is not only did Paul and Silas' chains fall off, but everyone in the prison. So what you're singing for, your breakthrough is not just for you. It's for everyone around you. So it would make sense when Jesus said, Jesus is the word, but wherever it is in Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Because when we praise the Lord, when we sing those songs, it really brings deliverance. It brings breakthrough. It makes chains fall off of you and everyone around you. Because your breakthrough is not just for you. Your life is not just for you. Your life is more of an impact to the people around you, and being aware of, hey, I'm not fighting for myself alone. I'm fighting for the call of God in my life for everyone around me and everyone that I'm called to impact. And that's where we sing those promises and we're like, nope, I'm not a victim. I'm not a poor man. God's gonna carry me through. And I just love the song that we sing is Shine a Light, where it says, my praise will break the darkness. Nothing can stand against us. Nothing can stand against us. Our praise will break the darkness. Like that song. Have we ever thought about those words? Our praise, our actual singing breaks the darkness over people's minds, over the church, and over the community around the church. Your breakthrough is not just for you.
That's good.
Your breakthrough is for everyone around you. And people are counting on you to sing those songs of praise, to sing those songs of deliverance over yourself and over them.
That is excellent, excellent. Just the last verse, and then we're going to wrap this up. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15, Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, which was a tribe of praise, Jehoshaphat realized that he was about to be attacked. There was about to be a warfare to go on against him, and it was actually coming from the other kingdom of Israel. And in verse 11, this is what he said. They called on Jehoshaphat and said, you've got to do something. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And so one of the servants of the king of Israel said, yes, Elisha is around. Okay. Now look at what Elisha says when he arrives on the scene in verse 15. But now, bring me a musician. And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Give me some music up here. Let's get some music going. Come on. Come on. If Elisha, such an amazing person, man of faith, did amazing miracles, twice the miracles of his father Elijah, if he says, hey, bring me the musicians. We're about to go into battle. I mean, this is, again, he did twice the miracles of Elijah. If he's saying, get the musicians in here. Remember when Saul was struggling? Would you stand with me? We're going to sing one more song before we leave this morning. Remember when Saul was struggling, and what did he do? He called David. And he says, bring David. I need him to come, and I need him to bring his instrument with him because I'm being tormented in my spirit. David comes and just began to play over him and literally drove off the evil spirit that was tormenting him. I'm just telling you, as we begin to see this and we begin to realize this, when people come into this place, and maybe some of us sometimes, and we're overwhelmed in our spirit, we're overwhelmed in our lives, we're overwhelmed in our bodies, and the rest of us are joining in with all open praise for the Lord because we know that he inhabits those. He brings his glory here. Then we begin to support one another. Amen. In the worship and the praise. So let's finish this morning with a song, and then we'll pray and close this morning.